NPR is calling what happened at the U.S. Capitol yesterday an insurrection. As we've heard earlier this hour, others argue that it could be called a coup. But it's clear that the violence was an attack on the country's democratic institutions and that President Trump fanned the flames. And for more on how to talk about this story, we're joined by NPR media correspondent David Folkenflik. Hi, David.
Hey, Tanya.
Journalists have struggled to capture the enormity of events yesterday. You could say it started with a protest, then turned into a mob led by pro-Trump extremists. How did the media's coverage change as this violence escalated?
Well, I think you saw them reacting often with a little bit of a time lag. Inside NPR and other news organizations, you saw leadership sending out advisories. How are we going to characterize people? Are we still going to be calling them protesters? Well, they had been protesting, but it sure led to something that looked very more like a mob movement. And then, as you suggest, really something that was the sacking of the Capitol building, the Capitol structure where our legislature meets, one of the three major branches of government. And so you found news organizations trying to find ways to do that. At NPR, the word was used, an insurrection. You heard the presidential historian Michael Beschloss call it an attempted coup d'etat. And you heard that phrase from people like, I believe, Jake Tapper on CNN. So you saw people struggling to capture what people saw happening in front of them with their own eyes.
Sure. And those were questions we were actually asking as it was happening in real time. But knowing what we know now, what are the best ways to characterize the attack?
Well, take the word insurrectionist, which I think is accurate and fair. It's people engaging in a rebellion of sorts against government actions. It's not a word that we really use much in day-to-day conversation. It's a little hard for, I think, listeners to necessarily understand what that means. You use the word coup d'etat. You know, well, it's fair to say that this was an effort to disrupt the certification, the official sanction and approval of what had been a fair and free election found to be by members of both parties throughout all 50 states. And in that sense, it was a disruption of a democratic process goaded by the sitting president against an election that was affirming the win of his opponent. Maybe you can make that case. Academics and scholars and people who deal with this abroad would say, well, you really need military leaders or elite officials usually being able to command people to their leadership as being part of something you would call a coup. This might not technically fit, but I can certainly understand the justification for saying that in this case. I think that people are trying to calibrate their language. I think it's important not to be alarmist. It's certainly fair to call it mob, a riot. You could call it insurrection. I think it's fair to say that Congress was sacked by a mob goaded by the President of the United States. You don't necessarily need a technical definition to know what that signifies about an assault on democracy.
Mm-hmm. You know, the people that smashed those windows at the Capitol building. Even as that was happening, Trump's staunchest allies were assigning blame elsewhere, saying that it was the work of Antifa, for example, even though there's no evidence to support that. How has that played out on right-wing media?
Well, you saw that being raised by guests on Fox News and given it at least a seriousness of purpose on shows like Laura Ingraham's, Lou Dobbs. Even, former vice presidential candidate Sarah Palin said to one of Fox's news anchors, Marsha McCallum, without really anything in the way of pushback, the Washington Times, which is a very conservative publication, posted a story claiming that there was evidence to show that a facial recognition company had been able to identify two Antifa leaders as being among those who had led folks. That story has been pulled back. An executive for the company involved says it was false from start to finish and appears to have been completely discredited. But it certainly was used to hearten those who attempt to initially people who might have minimized the seriousness of what was happening, then attempting to deflect responsibility for what was happening. But you have seen that consistently from certain kinds of opinion guests and hosts on Fox, as well as Newsmax and others.
You know, journalists are not the story. We try to keep ourselves out of the story. But journalists at the Capitol were themselves threatened. What did they face?
Well, I think you saw a lot of hostility. I think you saw a graffiti in the House of Representatives basically calling for the murder of journalists. You saw a number of folks with very viscerally anti-media slogans on their sweatshirts and hats. Outside on the Capitol grounds a bit earlier before the storming, when as the mob was gaining in anger, folks turned against essentially a camera crew for the Associated Press chanting anti-CNN slogans and destroying equipment. And you've had individual other reports of the degree to which reporters felt threatened. My understanding is that the Salt Lake Tribune has reported one of its reporters was also attacked by pro-Trump protesters inspired by the mob in Washington. They turned on him in protest at the state capitol in the state of Utah, an indication of what this kind of rhetoric can do.
That's NPR media correspondent David Folkenflik. As always, thank you so much, David.
You bet.